Now, how many of you got a Bible? Let me see all your Bibles. All your Bibles. I don't blame y'all for staying. My kids stay too, because they put your Bible down. They want to hear Pastor Corey preach, so I'm glad Seth stays in. Senior in high school, and all our youth group, a lot of our youth group sits back there all together, and they don't talk. They diligently listen to everything that I say. Big John normally sits right there where our new folks are, and I was talking to him. He lives in this camper right out here, kind of fulfills a job of security and things like that. And I was talking to him. We were trying to gather a bull, two cows, two calves that I need to take to the sale on Friday. So me and Dalton and Seth and Jet Byers, we get on our horses and I spot them. And when they spot us, they take off. And I don't know if you've ever been back there, but by the way, for church members, there's a pond that I put some big old bass and some bluegill in. You're more than welcome to fish it. But in order to build that covered arena, I sold 30 acres that we really never used, but they're not going to put a house on it for about 10 years. And so I said, hey, if you want to buy a cow and a calf so you can have ag exemption, or a bull and a cow or whatever, then I'll fence off a portion and I'll use that land for your to help you out, and it also help us out during the rodeo. I might turn out 100 head of steers out there. We're only talking about 5 head of animals, a big bull, 2 cows, and 2 steers, really, a bull calf and a heifer calf. And we're just going to go gather them, no big deal. But when they see us, y'all, they take off. If you've never been back there, it's thick. And I mean, we did 2 passes and could never find them again. And it's only less than 40 or 50 acres. I mean, it's not. We have 4 cowboys. I mean, we're trained by the government somehow. And we couldn't do it, man. And I was going through brush, and my horse was going through brush. And I mean, it's so thick, and it was knocking me off of my horse. And there was one place that I literally had to get off, and then I couldn't get my horse to come along. I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm going to have to stay out here forever. Finally, my horse comes through there, and we just couldn't do it. And then I got the revelation to get a bag of feed. Anybody owns a horse and cattle, you understand. I got a bag of feed, and I just honked the horn, and here they come. Big John was out there, and he said, Corey, the Lord gave me some revelation I want to share with you. I said, what was it? He said, well, while I was mowing out here and tilling and planting for a food plot for the deer, the Lord just began to speak to me on that tractor. And he started talking to me about seed and how important seed is. And then he talked to me about weeds. And that a lot of times the weeds are in amongst the good seed of the grass or whatever. And he just began, and it wasn't a long conversation, but it birthed the message, obviously. And I told him that it would probably birth a message, and I would give him credit on the first one. And then after that, then he's not going to be talked about any longer if I preach it again somewhere. But what he said is, it really struck me. And it's amazing how the Lord speaks to us all. How that seed, even if it's a weed seed, how it's got to be uprooted, not just cut off. A lot of times we see that broom weed in the pasture and we'll just see it mowed down. And that's a good thing to mow it down, but you don't want it to come back. You got to uproot it, you see. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Obviously, Jesus is going to teach us all a very familiar parable that all of us probably have heard over and over and over. But I'm going to talk about some weeds, some bad weeds that, and there's just a couple of them that we need to deal with. Because listen to me, my job as the pastor of this church is to help us understand who we are in Christ Jesus, the authority, praise God, that we have in Jesus, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, praise the Lord. That the power, the dunamis power, the Greek word of power, dunamis, is available to every one of us so that we can be the victors and not victims in the last of the last days. And my job is to help us understand that there is going to be a lot of persecution in these last days. There's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations that we need to go through and not stay in the middle of them. As you've heard me say for years and years, a lot of people build a tent in the middle of a trial and tribulation where the Word tells us to get on through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil, praise the Lord. And we've got to get taught, and it's a mandate for me to help us understand that yes, we are in the last of the last days, and we need to know that we can be winners and not losers. We can be the head, remember in Deuteronomy? The head, not the tail. We can be above things. We don't have to be defeated by a lot of weapons that we preached on a few months ago. We've got to start talking about seed. I've been preaching on seed for 25, 30 years now. Everything is a seed, good or bad. And you find out that the Word of God is seed. And that's why we've got to get it planted on the inside of us. So, let's just read this parable, starting in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat by the sea, great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3. He spoke many things in parables, saying, behold, a sower, and this is one of them, listen. A sower, someone sowing a seed, went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came, devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth or much ground. They immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, choked them. But others fell on good ground. Say good ground. Because that's the key. Yielded a crop, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Uh-oh, it really does say that. And he who has ears, let him hear. And I believe that God wants us to hear some things this morning. So here's a sower, which is all of us. And we've got to learn to sow in good ground. I remember one time I was teaching this in Lubbock, and a lot of college kids and things like that. And they really got a hold of sowing. And I just had to, there was one moment of teaching, because one boy that just began to hang around us constantly, he won a team roping, and he comes to me and says, I want a team rope. And I said, praise the Lord. And he said, so I'm sowing. I'm going to give a tithe. I said, praise God, that's a good thing. The Bible says that windows in heaven will open up, brother. Amen. He said, well, I already gave the tithe. And I said, well, good deal, good deal, good deal. What church did you give it to? Or where did you give it? He said, I gave it to the roping producer. Well, you see, his heart was right. But I wanted to make sure he understood that where you sow the seed is really important. Amen. So there's a sower going out to sow, and Jesus is teaching the multitudes. Now he's teaching all of us, anybody that's watching, that where you plant the seed is very important. Okay? And obviously in this parable, the good ground is the most important because it sprung up a crop 130, 60 fold. And that's a good fold. I mean, that's good return on your money, really. Okay? Now, understand that sowing, there's the second part that most people don't do. Man, there's a middle part, like the time. Put some water and some, you know, some fertilizer, etc. Maybe even a little bit of weed control. But you can't ever forget about the harvest, because the harvest is one of the most important times. I was watching a man bale hay the other day, and the temperature must have been right, because he was turning over that hay after he already cut it, and just before he started baling. And I noticed, though, he did it at the right time. And when he started, he finished, no matter how long it took, see. Because there's something about reaping the harvest, you see. Now, let's move over to verse 24 now, Matthew 13. And let's read another parable that Jesus was teaching. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, are y'all there? Say amen. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. How many of you know, look at me just for a second, in these last days, that's going to happen. A lot of times the enemy comes, you know, that's why there's a scripture that says the glory of the Lord goes before you. That's wrong. It says your righteousness goes before you, and the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. How many of you know the enemy is always attacking you from behind in the dark, trying to sneak up on you? And that's what happens in these last days, to try to get us in depression, into trials and tribulations and staying in them. The enemy's constantly trying to attack all of us. And God is teaching us something here. While the men slept, the enemy came in, sowed tares. Now, here's the thing, though, is they sowed with the good wheat, right? So let's read on. And he said he sowed tares among the wheat, went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And Jesus said, nope, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. So let them grow together, the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I'll send the reapers. First gather together the tares, bind them up in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into the barn. Here's what God's trying to show us, y'all, is that a lot of times we've got good seed going into good ground, and the enemy comes to try to bring in some division, some bad weeds, exactly. And God's trying to teach us, sometimes If you uproot one, it uproots the bad. So wait till the one so that you recognize, that weed that you recognize, that old bitter weed that you recognize, so that when you recognize it, you can speak to the mountain and command that one mountain, that one bad seed, to be uprooted. You remember when the word says, when you speak to the mountain, command the mountain to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things which you say is going to come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you saith. So Jesus is saying, sometimes we live in a world where there's a lot of sin that abounds, but God's grace abounds much more. The good seed's going to come forth, and you don't have to worry. I mean, when you see the bad seed, uproot the stuff. And when you uproot it, praise God, don't let it come back. There's two things that the Lord showed me that are bad seeds that we need to deal with. That if we recognize them in the midst of even good seed, let's uproot them right now in Jesus' name. And there's two things that I want to deal with this morning, and here they are. The very first thing that we need to uproot is wrong thinking. Write that down. Wrong thinking. We need to deal with wrong thinking. I want you to flip over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Just turn to your right and let's read a little bit more word, because wrong thinking is dangerous to a believer. And believe it or not, because we live in a world but not of the world, a lot of wrong thinking has creeped in to the church. Remember, the Bible says that the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. He'll come and he'll be seeking, just let me see what gets their goat. And he'll be. There you are. And he can do something just to set you off. You know, because he just looking. What can make her mad at her sister? You know. I could tell you, you know. What can cause division? What can cause a few fights? What can cause a marriage to break up? A doctor can say something negative. And then I hear, well, you know, my diabetes, my cancer. And before you know it, we've got wrong thinking. And that wrong thinking can become weeds in our lives. And a bad weed, I mean, ask any cowman, a bad weed in a certain time of year is dangerous for the herd. Matter of fact, they eat some weeds at different times of the year that grow along the banks of the rivers. If a cow eats that particular weed, the whole group of cattle will die. And that's what happens to a lot of believers, is we, because of bad thinking, we get some bad weeds, and it can destroy our spiritual lives a lot of times. That's why you see the church packed after 9/11, and then not too much longer after that, they're gone. That fire seems like it was snuffed out. Why? By something out there in that world that got their thinking wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we're to think how the Word of God thinks, how God Himself thinks. We're to be an imitator of Christ. And we've got to start learning that bad thinking is a bad weed that can destroy all of us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, be killed," this is Jesus, "be killed and then be raised from the dead the third day. Then Peter," here's Peter, "then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Listen to me. It's very important that you read John 8 and 32, where the Bible says the word is truth and the truth will make you free. What causes a lot of people to have bad thinking is they don't know the truth. When a doctor says you've got 6 months to live, if you accept the report of a human doctor and not the final report of the Lord Jesus that by his stripes you're healed, then you're going to die in 6 months. But when you get right thinking and you begin to stand on the word of God and you start saying like I did when they told me I had Crohn's disease, they took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon, and then declared to me I would have to take medicine for the rest of my life. I decided to believe the word of God. Yes, it was a fact. As I've always said, it was a fact that I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease over 20 plus years ago. But the truth is that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I decided, as y'all know, to believe the truth more than the fact. And if you believe the truth more than the truth will override the fact and you're healed by Jesus' stripes. I've never taken one pill ever. Why? Because I decided to believe the truth. And when you believe the truth, it takes out that wrong thinking, see. Say amen louder than that. When you get wrong thinking, then you'll say stuff like, "Well, it must be God's will." "It's just my luck." Ha, your mama. Don't you dare believe in luck. No, have faith in God. Start believing the truth. Because if you don't believe the truth, you cannot be made free. The truth will get that wrong thinking out. Instead of saying my cancer, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, why don't you say, "Father, that's yours." The Bible says cast every care upon Jesus because he cared for us. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves me. You see, you start believing the truth, it'll start causing right thinking to come in. And right thinking is this word of God. When we believe this book, more than anything, all things are possible to him to believe. I just believe this word from the front of it to the back of it. That yes and amen. And if you believe the truth of the word of God more than the fact, then you'll stop having wrong thinking, because wrong thinking is a weed in our lives. And we've got to uproot them. I don't believe in luck, because there's good and bad luck in the world. And we've gotten so used to saying good luck, good luck, good luck. But if you believe in good luck, then you have to believe in the bad. And you just better hope that it's not the day of bad luck. But when you know the truth that you're blessed, highly favored of God, that the word says, there's no such thing as a bad blessing. So I would rather hear do good, be blessed. You can do it. You see, we've got to get this wrong thinking out, because it's a seed. Matter of fact, it's a weed. And that weed will destroy you. I don't know of any world champion, any baseball. My cousin that played professional baseball that most everybody knows about, when he hit that home run, he played for San Francisco. He got cut at the Marlins. He had played there for 7-8 years. Not a nationally known team, right? He gets to, in half the season when the Marlins are done, he gets over to San Francisco because they had a pretty good team. And he just happens to fit in with that club. And I'm talking a believer in Jesus now, in a pretty wild place, San Francisco. I mean, All those weeds are everywhere. You people from California know. I've preached there many, many, many times. But man, he had faith. So he would text me, give me some good word. And so we texted a lot. Well, it was the National League Championship game, and they were playing Philadelphia. And he hits a home run off the pitcher that just pitched a no-hitter in the game before. And they threw him a slider to the inside. And I mean, Cody Ross, pop, outfield. Oh, the crowd went crazy. He gets up the next at-bat, y'all. What if he would have said in his mind, that was a fluke? I guess I got lucky. No, you know what he said? Throw me that pitch again. And if you remember, this has been, 10 years ago, they threw him the same pitch and he ended up hitting two home runs off of that guy, won the MVP for the National League Championship, and then went on to win that big old ring, the World Series ring with San Francisco. Got traded the next year to Boston. And then finally got a big contract at Arizona. But listen to me. He was around all that negativity. He was around a lot of tares. He was around a lot of bad weed seed. And if he'd have let that consume him, it would have changed his career, you see. You see, there's something about keeping the Word of God on the inside of you. That's why we can't play church in these last days, y'all. There's too many weed seeds around that we got to uproot so that we can be in the promised land, so that we can be in the river of blessing. Don't you dare get on the side of the blessing of the river where everybody else is getting blessed but you. And then all you can speak, hang on, let me make sure. That's number two. Number two is bad confessions. Here's the second weed we need to deal with this morning, then we'll go home. A bad confession. Now, I want all of you to turn to the front of your Bible and find Ezekiel. The reason I said to the front, because it'll tell you what page to go to. It'll save you a little time, maybe. But if you want to go to Psalms, then go to the right. You'll go past Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and eventually you'll find Ezekiel. But I want you to turn to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Because a bad weed, listen to me carefully, because it'll help your roping, it'll help your school, it'll help your marriage, it'll help your business, it'll help every aspect of your life if you'll get wrong thinking out and you'll stop having bad confessions. Listen to me. This mouth, as you turn to Ezekiel, this mouth is a very strong, powerful thing. The Bible says in the Old Testament that it either speak life or it speak death. There's the power of it is in life and death, and it's found in the tongue, right? So what comes out of it is really, really, really important because it's throwing seeds all the time, constantly. I mean, I can promise you raising kids, I would never tell my kid, well, you're not going to amount to much and probably end up in jail. Of course, my kid knows enough of the word, well, he'll rebuke me. Amen. Because I'm not going to speak that trash, not over my children, you see. There's power that comes out of that. That's why Romans 10:9 says that if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth that he's Lord and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That he uses thou in the King James. Thou shalt be saved. You see, there's something about the power that comes out of this mouth. And a bad confession is a weed that can destroy a lot of things. That mouth will speak life or it'll speak death. And a lot of people use it to speak bad things over a lot of people. You know why, probably? Because of wrong thinking. They just think that that's what they're supposed to do. And before you know it, what is, remember in Matthew, the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So you better figure out what's in your heart. Okay? Now, there's a great, great teaching and story found in Ezekiel chapter 37 about dry bones. Check this out, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. There he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, talking about dry bones, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now that's a good confession, amen. I mean, I speak that all the time. A man called the other day and just said he was having major heart issues, and I said, you want to live? And he said, absolutely. Well, then start speaking to your body to live and not die. Amen. You know, I just wanted my confession. I wanted him to hear in his ear gate. I wanted him to hear, hey, life and not death. Start speaking life, you see. And here in the Word of God, they're trying to get us to understand, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter. Verse 6, I will put, what is that, sinews? Way to go, teacher. On you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Man, this is what we need to start doing way more. Start speaking life over each other instead of death. Oh, sorry, brother, you're going to die. Yeah, the way you're living, you're done. What'd the doctor say? Yeah, I got 6 months. Okay, let's start planning for you. You want me to preach it? I got a special. 1995. Golly. How ridiculous. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Thank you, Lord. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. But look at this in verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, there's some teaching here, y'all. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost and we ourselves are cut off. Listen to me, that's a bad confession. We don't have no hope. The Democrats already ruined everything. Don't believe that trash, y'all. I mean, getting all political in here. I'm telling you, I told this to so many people when I was sitting by the governor and he was there. And remember, I told y'all that he just asked one question to us all. There was maybe four or five preachers around. And he just asked, how can we do better? What is wrong with the church? What's wrong? Why? We need to see revival. And when it came to me, I said, well, it's because of us preachers. because we're afraid of losing a 501c3 that we don't preach the truth. And those other preachers, they warned them. I mean, they were cursing me underneath their breath and everything. I meant it in the right way, though, because we have to preach the truth behind here. We can't get all mixed up in wokeism and all that junk. No, we need to preach that a man's a man and a woman's a woman. And we have the definition of both of them. Okay. I'm not going there, I promise. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, instead of that the bones are dry and the hope is lost and we ourselves are cut off, prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you. And I'm talking about when there's a spiritual death, you need to start speaking some life over things. You need to get those old tares and bad weeds out. Uproot them things and start speaking life to someone. Yeah, it don't look, maybe it don't look to the physical eye that things are going good, but by golly, I'm not moved by my five physical senses. I'm moved by the truth of the Word of God, and the Word of God will prevail, and the Word of God is truth, and the truth always makes you free, you see. It says, I will open the graves, cause you to come up from your grave, bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your grave. O my people, and brought you up from the graves, I will put, listen to this, my spirit in you, and you shall live. There was a bad confession up in verse 11. Now we're getting to a good confession. My spirit's in you, you're going to live. I will place in you your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, performed it, says the Lord, and the book was shut. We've got to get wrong thinking out, and we got to start speaking the word no matter the temptation. Because there's always going to be a temptation to speak doubt, to speak fear, to speak unbelief. But when you do that, it's a seed. And when the seed's in the ground, it's going to harvest unless you uproot that bad seed. So today, let's get the tares out. And when you get them out, even in the midst of good seed, burn them up. Cast them out. That's what forgiveness is. Right? God says when you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and remember them no more as far as the east is to the west. God forgets it, in other words. What a gracious God. So that's got to be us. When you get that tear, that old bad seed, whatever kind of seed it is, the seeds that will cause death to your spiritual lives and physical bodies a lot of times. You eat that bad seed, that's not good for you. But the Word of God is good. It's fruit. That's why all, when God starts talking about fruit, what he does the flesh, works of the flesh, and then he starts talking about good fruit. Because fruit's good for you. Peace is good for you. Love is good for you. Patience, it's good for you. Joy, it's good for you. Just ask anybody that doesn't have any, and they start having true joy. You heard what I said, because you're never going to have joy if you look at it like happiness, because the Dallas Cowboys keep getting beat. And you might have happiness when they finally win, and then there's the next game. And you're always like, no, again? Where were you throwing it? What I'm saying today is let's start thinking right, and the only thing to think right is to understand that you have the mind of Christ, and having the mind of Christ You have to sow the seed word on the inside of you so it can change your mind to start saving your soulish realm, your mind, your will, your emotions. And when you get them in line, then it starts coming out of your mouth. Oh, you're a winner. And then your wife's going to look like that. Who are you? Because you used to wake up on the wrong side of the bed. But they're going to start saying, because of who you are in Christ, you're going to start thinking right. You're going to start speaking right. Hey, you're a winner. You hear me? Look at me. You're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. You deserve the best. You're a king, a kid of the king. You're highly favored. Matter of fact, you're his favorite. But so am I. So is he. You're a winner. You just got to start thinking of yourself as a winner. You're a king's kid, man. You know what the enemy does, though? Wrong thinking. Yeah, but you don't know what I did last week. I wanted to whip an old man for cutting me off in traffic. Now, that hadn't happened last week. That was a while back, but
2 weeks ago.
I want a good confession. Man, you roped good yesterday. You did. He hadn't roped in a long time. Came to the house and roped just like, he missed a couple, maybe. One. Associate pastor. Come on now. Listen to me. You're the head, not the tail. You just got to believe it. You got to know who you are in Christ because you're worthy. Even when the world's told you you're not worthy, you, ma'am, are worthy because you're a precious, precious person in the sight of God. And when you're precious in the sight of God, it'll start overflowing to all the people that love you because you're a winner. You got to believe it. You're the head. You can do it. See, a good confession feels good, right?
Yes.
Because it doesn't feel good up. I'm losing all my hair. And all you start talking about is the negative. Suck in. You're winners. So let's get the bad thinking out and let's put the right thinking in, which then will cause the bad confessions out and good confessions to start coming forth. And then you'll start being have a lot more peace, a lot more joy, a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. And then God gets all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Love you, love you, love you. Father, thank you so much for just the message. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As you know, I would never leave a service. I don't care where I'm at, all over this country or right here at this great church, I would never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So here's a question for everybody and y'all that are watching us. What would happen to you if you stood before God? The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. What would happen to you? What would God say to you? So let me help you out just real fast. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, Jesus, you've confessed Him as Lord. Remember, John 14 says Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is through Him or by Him. Jesus is the Son of God, and He's the only way to get to the Father. Not being good. I mean, thank God for good works, y'all. But Jesus is the one that died for you. And you have to invite Him into your life to be the Lord of your life. If you stand before God on that great judgment day with Jesus as Lord, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven." Since God gave every one of us a will, you can say no to Him as well. And if you do, and you don't want to have anything to do with Jesus or the Father, the Spirit of God, the Trinity, then you have that right, because God's not going to force Himself on you. That's why He says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and choose the blessing and the life, so that thou and thy seed," their seed, your kids and their kids and their kids, that's your seed, "so that thou and thy seed may prosper." If you choose not to have anything to do with God and you reject Jesus, when you stand before God, and you will, He'll have to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." Well, I don't want Him to do that to anybody. I don't care how bad someone's treated me. I want them to go to heaven and not hell. So is Jesus the Lord of your life? If He's not, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with all of us. Everybody in here, I pray, will pray this prayer, because I want you to. Not to get saved again, but maybe to learn it so you can lead others to Jesus at your job, school, wherever, that won't come to church. But also, you may be praying it with someone around you that may be asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life for the first time. If you're here or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you don't know what God would say, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth and died, then I want you to pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. And again, believers are going to pray this prayer with you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray it out loud where your ears can hear it. And I want you to pray this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of any sin I've ever committed. Because today, I'm forgiven. I'm born again. Jesus is Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name." With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and gave your heart to Jesus this morning, when I count to three, I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and then put it right back down. Everybody always asks me, why do you have them raise their hand? Well, because the Bible says, if you'll confess Jesus before men, you know what Jesus says? I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. In other words, we're never ashamed that Jesus is the Lord of our life. If you just prayed that prayer and gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up when I say three with boldness. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you, brother. Thank y'all. Both of y'all. Thank you, my friend. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a Bible. No one looking around. Anybody else? Three? Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. I'm telling you guys. Thank you, Lord. Oh. I'm serious. I've had people come to this church from the Austin area, said I've visited 20 churches that didn't give a salvation plan. I'm telling you, if they don't, they'll come here. They may not stay here and they may go off to their another church, but it's amazing how many people get saved every Sunday. And very seldom is there none. We'll just keep letting God do it. If they need to get saved here and then go to their church to get taught, that's fine with me. I don't care. But y'all three are now my brothers and sister in Christ. I'm your family. You're going to need me, but I'm going to need you. Preachers still need family, the family of Christ. I hurt just like y'all. You just won't know it. Amen? So you pray for me. And we got big family now, so it's an honor that y'all three are new. Anybody watching, it's an honor to have you as well. Amen. And please tell us, I want everybody to know, when you go on Facebook and you watch this program, share it. Let us know. I mean, there'll be 18, 20 when I get home of messages of from Rock Springs watching, from Montana, from California. I mean, and they'll a lot of times they'll tell us, mainly it's Texas, it looks like. But they watch from all over. But let us know if you're watching. Amen. All right. Did y'all have a good time? Love you.